Salutations. What is up, everyone? This is your host, Jorge Luis Quintero, and welcome to another episode of Quintero o Dinero. I hope everybody had a fantastic Thanksgiving, spent it with their loved ones, ate a lot of food, and at the end of the day, just had a great time with love and laughter. Hopefully nobody got sick, kept it safe and under control. Speaking on that, I want to give a huge shout out to the frontline, to the nurses, the doctors, EMT, etc. Everybody in the medical field, huge shout out to you guys for keeping people safe, holding it down. I know you guys have been working long, restless nights. I don't even know if you guys got to really experience Thanksgiving this year. Didn't miss much of the pandemic, but thank you guys for trying to save as much human lives as you guys can. I want to give a big shout out to El Paso, Texas. I know right now they're going through it with COVID cases. I know cases are spiking up in El Paso. So for everyone in El Paso hearing this podcast, you know, please just make sure you guys are taking care of yourselves, taking care of your families and your surrounding environment. My prayers goes out to everybody in El Paso and literally everyone in the world. Hopefully we're all being safe. And I want to give a huge shout out to the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is from El Paso, Texas, and I know he's always repping that 915 and that Burgess High School, baby, Burgess alums. So on today's podcast, my special guest is a longtime friend, a childhood friend, great memories with this man. His name is Francisco Javier Sanchez. I've met him since kindergarten of elementary school. You know, we grew up, went to the same elementary, middle school, different high schools, but always kept in touch. You know, you always got to make sure those childhood friends that always kept it real with you, you got to stay close with them. He showed me nothing but love throughout my whole life. We come through very similar backgrounds. His dad's got his own business like my dad, and although I wasn't involved with my dad's business as much as my brothers were, I was able to see that life through their lenses as well as see it from behind the lines. And for the people who have never worked with their family within that business, you don't know. You don't know what goes on. You don't know how stressful it can be. Sometimes you shouldn't mix family with business together because it stirs up a lot of shit. But for the ones who can maintain it and keep that business steady and growing and progressing and moving forward, kudos to you, and to make sure they keep that stress level low. Francisco Javier Sanchez is a builder. He's building homes in El Paso. So for anybody who needs a home built, hit up Francisco Javier Sanchez. Him and his family, they got that business going. And in El Paso, houses are cheap. For the people who are looking to buy houses and save money, I recommend you go to El Paso. It's beautiful, beautiful mountains, beautiful scenery, beautiful women, and amazing food. All right, folks, well, let's bring out Francisco Javier Sanchez. Oh, and quick shout out, real quick shout out to the Sierra Vista MacArthur and Burgess family. For those of you, you guys know who you are. All right, I'm done talking. Let's bring them out. Cheers. We're live.
Cheers.
Thank you for doing the podcast, my guy.
Hey, no problem, man. No problem. Thanks for having me.
How's everything back home?
Oh, man. In these times, man. I mean, everyone's doing good, man. Everyone's doing good. Hanging in there. Just taking it day by day, man. Distancing. Thankful still got work. So doing what we can, bro, during these times, honestly.
It's like, what can you do, you know?
I mean, it's just, I'm going to say that a lot during this podcast. I feel it's just, you're on a day-by-day basis now. You can't plan anything now.
No. My mom, she keeps asking me, when are you going to come home for Thanksgiving or Christmas? Unfortunately, you can't think that far ahead right now.
Right. Yeah, no, it didn't really sit well with my parents that I was traveling in the midst of a pandemic, so. But I told them, I understand your concerns and everything, but, I mean, you just got to take care of yourself. Like, that's what it's come down to. You just need to take care of yourself. And
definitely you have to pay attention and be aware.
For sure.
Be aware of your surroundings.
Yep.
Gotta have hand sanitizer 24/7. Gotta have hand sanitizer, and your mask, and you gotta take your vitamins.
And your vitamins.
Well, with COVID and everything going on, how's the business going?
Thankfully, it's going good, man. I tell everyone, it's the best time, and it's been the most busy we've ever been, actually.
Really, during COVID?
Yeah, during COVID. The reason being is because interest rates are so low. They're super low right now. I was talking with a realtor the other day, and he closed a client at a 2.5 interest rate, where just a couple months ago, you were looking at a 4.2. So that 2%, you got to keep in mind, you're talking hundreds and thousands of dollars. So it adds up, definitely. So it's great, but it's scary at the same time, because it's how I tell everyone, you know, right now we're at the peak, but what's going to happen, you know, post COVID, Is everything going to drop? Is everything going to fall? Is it going to be another 2008? You know, what's next? What's next for us as builders, real estate agents, realtors, just the whole market in itself, honestly? No one knows. No one knows.
And not even that, what is going to be post-COVID? What is going to be post-humans?
Right, exactly. I mean, we're all so used to now just mask and hand sanitizers, how we just said it. You know, that's the norm now. So just 2-3 months ago, you saw someone with a mask and you were looking at them like, what are you doing? Like, it's not that serious. But, you know, now it's, hey, put on your mask, dude. Like, what are you doing? Like, where's your mask? Where's your hand sanitizer? Like, have you washed your hands? You know, cover your mouth. And you can't even cough or sneeze when you're out in public because everyone looks at you like,
oh, I hate that.
Yeah, it's like, you have a plague now.
And it's not fair because I got a big ass nose too. I got a really big nose and it gets clogged up. So my allergies are very bad, especially right now.
You were tripping at dinner right now.
Yeah, I was. We had to leave for sure. People were starting to get suspicious.
Two that looked at us for sure.
Really? They were getting suspicious. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was like two
people. Like, what happened?
I was just, my allergies were acting up. Like, I was going at it.
I would be so embarrassed.
Yo, we gotta go. We gotta go.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, like, I really gotta go to the bathroom, but I'll meet you outside. You're like, all right, cool. But, I mean, yeah, dude, that's basically what it is, man. It's the best and the worst time right now because it's super expensive to build right now. You know, just in a lumber order that we did, a sheet of plywood, it was at $7. And this past order, I paid $25 a sheet. So if you think about it, about four times it went up.
About
220 sheets. So 2 times 4, you're already, I got to do my math.
Yeah, well, now we got dependent on calculators. We kind of forgot our math.
For sure. By four, $900 to $1,000 more. That, I mean, it's crazy. And if not more. And it's not even that. It's just the scarcity of them now. Like a lot of the lumber places, they're like, hey, I can only limit you to 2 bundles or, you know, this many sheets and all that. So it was just hard. It's still hard.
But why are they limiting it? If like the
because there's none. There's none because this was also when the Cali fires were going on and a lot of the lumber comes from Cali. So a lot of the forestries, a lot of the lumbers and all that, since it came from Cali and those shops shut down, obviously either from COVID or the fires or, you know, X reasons.
Yeah.
Just the scarcity, the supply and demand. And
it's with everything.
And another thing we're having problems with is with appliances.
Appliances.
So like in our packages, we do the fridge, stove, dishwasher, and the microwave. And so we were good with all three except the fridge. And the reason being is because, you know, they had everything, but they were missing like this little compressor and that was made in China. So you know, with it being made in China and just with everything going on right now, it was hard for them to send that over and we struggled. I was close to probably delaying about 2-3 houses because of fridges. But thankfully, you know, we made it work and so we were good.
Found a way to be flexible with you.
Yeah. No, thankfully, you know, the customers we've had, man, they've been great. They've been real understanding, real just amazing, honestly. They know. They understand and they've worked with us and they've been nothing but great. So that makes my job easier a lot.
That's good. Well, one thing that I've been seeing more is just how the human interaction has changed, where people, when they get the opportunity to talk to someone, it's a longer conversation and it's definitely more friendlier. But that's if also if people are approachable.
Right.
Because of COVID, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I guess my response to that is being the career that I'm in, I mean, you have to approach people. You have to talk to people. I mean, that's my job. I can't text someone, you know, I can't text the clients like, hey, like, you know, something happened. Like, I need to tell them face to face because one, that's unprofessional. And two, like, that's my job. That's what I got to do. So I hear what you're saying. But I mean, no, like, I see that a lot, that it's just, it gets harder and harder every day to have a conversation with someone. Because I mean, it's, everyone's just so dependent on their phones now. Like even I hear from trades now, like, hey, text me. I'm like, no, dude, I can't text you. Like I need to explain to you what the problem is. I can't text you the whole details and all that. But I mean, it, once again, it's what you got to adapt to. You got to just understand that, you know, times are changing and times are going to keep changing and you either adapt to it and you overcome or you're going to die, honestly.
Yeah, you have to evolve as a person.
Exactly. You either evolve or you're going to stay back. And if you stay back, who knows, you know, you may not survive as a business.
And that's one thing you see as far as like older Latinos where they're so stuck on their old phones. I'm pretty sure you can relate. You know how my dad is, and I'm pretty sure that's how your dad is too.
That's exactly how it is, man.
I mean, I get it too. You know, it's like, why do you want to get an expensive phone when this one does the exact same?
Right.
But it doesn't.
Right. It doesn't. See, like my old man, I love him to death, but he's so sad. If he could have a flip phone, he'd be ecstatic. But then I asked him, like, Dad, what about emails? Oh, shit, you're right. No, you're right. It's like, what about that? What about, like, group messages and all that? Like, how does that work? Ah, chingo. No, you're right. No, all right, I'll keep it. And that's one thing where, you know, me and my brother, sometimes we clash with my dad. Cause you know, I love him to death. He's, you know, he's my father, he's my blood, but the way he runs the business is different from how, like, you know, me and Ruben want to run the business. But you know, at the end of the day, it's his. So I just, hey dude, if that's how you want to do it, just let me know. But
very old fashioned, huh?
Right, right. Very old fashioned, you know, like I'm still writing checks and signing checks rather than, you know, hey, like direct deposit and stuff like that. But I mean, hey, it saved us two or three times where, you know, hey, like what check did you write to this guy? And, yeah, no, it was this check. Like, all right, cool. We're safe. So I don't know if we were to change, what would happen with that?
You know, I think it's funny that many people would see, like, if you're like working for your dad's business or company, whatever it is, they kind of look at you as like, oh, you're spoiled or it's there. It's made for you. But people don't realize this. When you're working with family, it's just as stressing as working with someone who's not family.
Oh, for sure, man. For sure. It's like what I tell everyone. It's like, look, like people that don't work with family, you guys clock out at 4 or 5. I, like, for example, in my case, I go home and I, all right, well, I'll see you at dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm going to see my boss at dinner. And as much as you try to evade it and avoid it, you're going to talk about the business. And so as much as you try to cut off and, you know, hey, like, I don't want to talk about it. I want to be like, no, you're going to talk about it. It's easier when you move out. Like, for example, my brother moved out. We built his home and, you know, he clocks out and he's done. I mean, if I really need him, I'll call him like, hey, dude, like, help me out, this and that. But if not, like, he clocks out and he's done. So it does get tiring, but you know, at the end of the day, I love what I do and it's a change. It's a definite change from what I was going to be doing, if you will, but I love what I do.
Yeah. And what you were going to be doing, was that what you had your job in Denver? Is that what it was?
So yeah, when I was in Denver, I was the same thing. I was the superintendent. They call them over there superintendent, whereas here they call them foreman. But over there, I was overseeing apartments, duplexes. So it was one building, but they called it in the middle of the party wall. So the party wall is what divide both units. So it was one building, but divided into units. That's why it's a duplex. So I did that over there in Denver for about a year and I was still going to school. And in that, you know, had some things come up, had some family troubles come up. And then in that, you know, my father started growing his business. And I asked him one day, like, hey, Dad, what's up? He's like, yeah, dude, you're more than welcome to come back. You'll always have a job here, definitely. But, you know, I was only going to class one or two classes per semester. He's like, but if you're going to come back, I'm telling you right now, like, you're going to be a full-time student and then we'll pencil you in for work somehow. He's like, but you're not going to do this part-time student. All right, cool. And I was starting to get detached because I was starting to making money and everything. And I'm like, no, like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to get my degree and then, you know, the money will come.
Why didn't you just stick to the, like, just keep making money and say, screw school?
Because, I mean, it's something that happened in my family a lot, that, you know, they went to school and then, you know, they got a job and then, you know, they started growing in their job and they started making money and they left school. You know, thankfully they're still doing okay, but I didn't want to follow that
path.
You know what I mean? And then even more, you know, my brother graduated. So if he did it, you know, why can't I do it? You know what I mean? That's how I always say it. I mean,
definitely.
And I've always looked up to my brother. You know, he's been there for me. He's helped me with so much shit.
Shout out to Ruben. He's helped me out too. Yeah, shout out to Ruben.
Yeah, shout out to Ruben, man. I tell you, man, he's my right hand. I can go to that guy for anything and everything, and I know he'll be there. He'll tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear.
What you need to hear.
What I need to hear, yeah. Like, he'll tell me, like, hey, dude, like, you're fucking up. Like, get your shit together. Or he'll tell you, like, hey, dude, like, keep doing your thing. You're doing something right. And sometimes that's what we need. That's what we need. And that's what I tell everyone. I'm like, look, dude, like, if you're looking for me as a friend to tell you what you want to hear, like, we'll cut it right here. Like, I'm not going to be that guy. I'll tell you what you need to hear. And you know, it doesn't fit well with some people. It doesn't. And
all it is you being real and authentic.
Right. And you know, it's cost me some friendships and it's cost me, I thought you weren't looking at your phone, bitch.
Hey. I put it on mute. You know, someone's calling me.
You know, it's cost me some friendships and it's cost me some things that
straight up just went with it on you, straight up saying, yeah, motherfucker.
Because you were giving us crap for being on our phone.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. But you know what I did? You assumed I was on my phone.
Because anyway. You pulled it out, but whatever. All right, whatever. Yeah, man. So back to it. No, it's cost me some friendships with some pretty close people. You know, it's nothing. I'm not going to change who I am or how I am. You know, it's who I am.
I think it's you being you.
Yeah, it's just me being me and telling you how it is. And if you don't like it, well, yes, maybe we shouldn't be friends or whatever.
No, and I mean, I respect that. It took me a while to kind of understand the relationship my brother was trying to do with me. Because, you know, sometimes you hate being wrong. you know, and at times I'm very stubborn and stuff. So like he would tell me what I didn't want to hear, but what I needed to hear.
Right.
And at times it was like, damn, I just didn't want to hear that. It pissed me off. But but then when you look back at it like a day or two, you're like, you know what?
And even more when they're right.
Yeah.
When they're right and like, oh my God. And you're like, yep, I knew it. Yep. That's how I feel the same. And I guess it's just sometimes a prideful thing where, you know, you do something, you expect something to turn out your way, but it doesn't. And then even more when someone says, see, I told you it wasn't going to turn out that way. Like that just adds to your upsetness or you know, your madness, so to say. And you got to keep in mind, I mean, they've been on this earth longer than us, whether it be your dad, your brothers, mom, whatever. So, you know, they know a bitter.
Definitely. And like how you said it yesterday, Americans hate being wrong.
Yeah, we hate being wrong.
You know, they'll tell us, don't go this road, but we're still going to go this road. And we just don't listen.
We just like, it's how my old man says, aprendemos a chingazos. Like,
aprendemos a chingazos.
Aprendemos a chingazos, but...
Hasta que pegamos una casa.
Yeah, you run into a house.
Yeah, until you run into a house.
Until you run into a house, man. Oh, dude, that was... I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day either. But like, again, like how we say, you know, you live and you learn through your lessons.
Right.
But if you don't learn, I don't know what you're doing then.
No, because it's how my old man says. He's like, look, when I first started, he's like, I don't care about mistakes. It's like, they're going to happen regardless. What I care about is if you make the same mistake twice. He's like, that's when I'm going to get upset. He's like, because what that's telling me is that you didn't learn from your mistakes. He's like, and not just with me as your employer, like just you in life general. Like the point in life is for you to go through and make mistakes and learn from them to become a better person, whether it be professionally, you know, academically, behaviorally, however you want. But if you can't follow that in a simple, you know, procedure in a job, what makes you think you can do that in real life? And like, it hit me when he told me that. I'm like, damn, dad, like, all right, I'm sorry. Like, you know what I mean? But now you think about it and you're like, damn, like it's true. Like, I mean, if I can't follow a simple order like that, you know, what makes you think I'm gonna make it in life? You know what I mean?
Definitely. But your family will always like tell you what you need to hear.
Right. Right.
And it's if you cry, you cry. But all they're trying to do is better you.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they don't want to see you suffer. Our parents don't want to see us suffer.
No. No one's parents want to see you suffer, for sure.
As far as like how we treat each other, do you think we're too soft on each other as like friends, as a society?
Directly, like
yeah, directly. No, I'm not saying like being. Yeah, directly with other people. You know, like we're too soft on each other. Like we should hold each other to a higher accountability.
I mean, I think that depends on you as a person because it depends how you were brought up. You know, if everyone was soft on you and everything, you don't know how to be the tough love, so to say. You know, if you've been cradled and loved, I mean, not loved, you know, because everyone's been loved. You know, if you've been cradled and babied and been, you know, the delicate little flower.
Yeah, fed with a silver spoon.
Right, you know, and if you've never, you know, been burned, you've been burned in the streets, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard for you as a person when you've been grown and nurtured in that environment to change your environment, to change who you are as a person. And it's not going to happen, you know. So I guess to answer your question, it's, I don't think we've been too soft on people. I think it's just, we all grew up in different environments. So you need to adapt to who you're talking to. You know, it's like I tell all my trades, you know, hey, even though, you know, you take orders from me, you know, I'm still the same as you. Like, and it trips out everyone. We know, yeah, like I'll stop the burrito truck and I'll get a burrito with the guys, you know, like they'll look at me like, what do you mean? What are you doing? What are you getting a burrito for? Like, dude, like, fuck, like I want a burrito. Like, what do you mean? And like, you know, hey, like, oh, what are you going to get one? I'm like, yeah, dude, like, do you want one? Like, I'll buy you one if you want. And dude, like sometimes it trips me out so much because like these guys have never been showed, you know, gratitude or anything for these. Like it tripped me out. And I tell everyone that when you buy these guys, you know, a burrito or a Coke or you know, a sweetbread or whatever, like their eyes light up. Like, cause over there, you know, it's real. I'm the boss. You're the worker. You do as I say. And I tell them, I'm like, look guys, like we're all here at the end to do the same thing. Like it's your service for my money. Like if you're a rock wall guy, I'm going to pay you to make my rock wall. If you're my framer, I'm going to pay you to frame the house. You know what I mean? So like, for example, the rock wall guys, when I bought them a burrito, one guy started crying on me, crying. And he's like, Javier, le quiero decir algo. And I'm like, yeah, man, like what's up? He's like, I've never had someone buy me a burrito before. And it hit me. I'm like, why? He's like, porque nadie nos habla como usted. He's like, no one treats us as people. Everyone just treats us as like workers and slaves and everything. I'm like, fuck that, dude. Like you're a worker, but you're still a human. Like, I'm not going to like think of you.
Dehumanize you.
Yeah, I'm not going to dehumanize you. Like, no, like, and it trips me out that there's still some people like that in this world, man, that like those people are the ones that piss me off. And those are the ones that fucking like, And it gets me livid, like, even talking about it, because, like, we're all in that together. And I talk about, like, for example, over there at work, like, how can you be such an asshole and, like, first not take care of your people? Like, keep in mind, like,
they're working for you. They're working to help you.
Exactly. Like, if you piss them off and they take off, it's just going to be more trouble for you. Yeah. You got to find a new trade. You got to get a new insurance certificate. Get a new W-9. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Whereas if you don't just treat them right, like, hey, man, like, what's up? How are you today? Like, even just as simple as that, just saying what's up to everyone or good morning or how are you? Like, people notice that. People notice that for sure. And it's just little things that it makes you realize as a person, you know, who you are and how you are.
It's just humans love to be acknowledged. And I mean, the thing is, we don't really get that a lot. No. Because we're not used to getting that a lot. We don't know how it is to be acknowledged. But when we do get that acknowledgement, when we do get the feeling of comfort, it's very beautiful. Especially you being the boss and you serving your workers.
Right.
Kind of like that kind of saying where it's like, happy wife, happy marriage, you know? Happy workers, happy business, you know?
Right.
And it's just like that. You know, you want to make sure you're taking care of your workers because they're building your foundation.
Right.
Like, they're setting us up for a foundation. So if we can take care of our workers, I feel like the work, the output would be just as good.
Yeah, exactly.
With any job.
Exactly. Yeah, no, regardless, you know, and you said it perfectly, you know, happy workers, happy business. You know what I mean? If what I can do is just, you know, help out someone just by a little token of gratitude, just a burrito, a soda, or whatever. You know, I have no problem with doing that. And there's just some people out there that don't, like, oh no, I'm the boss, like, bow down to me. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, no, we're all in this together. Like, where you're going is where I'm going. Like, you're going 6 feet under, I'm going 6 feet under. Like, at the end of the day, no one's going to care who you were, how many houses you did, what you did. That's it.
We're all going to be buried in that casket by ourselves.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're going to be in the same box as me, dude. Like, that's it. And just fucking be being deteriorated by worms. That's it.
People don't see people as humans sometimes. They see them as replaceables. Correct. Like robots in a way, you know? So correct. It's like, well, we can't do this. I'll find someone else to replace you quick. That's not how it should be.
No, yeah. Yeah. And I agree with that 100%. But for example, to fight you on that, if let's just say someone isn't coping with your attitude or with your vibes, if you will, we can even put it like that, and it's not helping you in your business, then yeah, you know, replace them.
Of course.
But I guess how you say it, you know, I get what you're trying to say.
Cause you know me.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you adapt to everyone. You try to talk to everyone. You accommodate to everyone. But for example, you know, there's some times where, hey, I need it done a certain way. And if you can't pull through and do it my way, then I can't have you. You know what I mean? Because maybe it's not me doing it. It's the client. The client wants it a certain way. And I can't tell the client, hey, I can't do it like that. You know, like, I'm buying the house from you. Please do it this way. Like, so I mean, that's where I get the replaceables and all that. And I tell everyone, if you're not comfortable here, dip. Like, no one's forcing you to be here. Like,
they don't have a gun to your head.
Yeah, no one has a gun to your head. No one's forcing you to be here. Like, if you want to dip, you can dip. It's not a problem.
So you being in the position you've been, have you ever had to fire somebody?
I have.
And how was that feeling?
So it was scary, to say the least. It was scary. But it makes you grow up so much. So much. So for example, that guy, he was part of my concrete crew. And we were pouring a foundation. And so when you pour a foundation, the trucks, when they're filled with cement, they come either pre-filled with water from the plant, or they add water on site so it can, you know, rush better and you can work it better. My thing is, I always tell the concrete guys, hey, don't put so much water, because when you put so much water, the chemical, it rises, it deteriorates the concrete in essence. It's where you're just throwing sand, if you will. And I always tell the guys, hey, dude, don't put so much water. Okay. So that pour, it was over there in Horizon City behind the Walmart, and we were pouring two at once, and it was me, and then they were right by each other, and then the truck showed up, and that guy wasn't even the main guy, if you will. It was one of the main guy's workers, and right away he goes to the truck and he starts boom getting the water going. I'm like, all right, cool, like, they need to put water, it's cool. And it started going for a while until I told the main guy, I'm like, hey, dude, like, cut off the water. Ah, okay. And he didn't say anything. And he didn't do anything. You know, the water kept going. So then I told the sales rep for the concrete, like, hey, dude, like, cut off the water. So he cut it off. And then I hear his worker, hey, well, what the fuck? Like, why are you cutting off the water? I'm like, dude, you've had the water going for about 15, 20 minutes. Like, dude, that thing is freaking pure water.
It's set now.
You screwed it up. And his comment was, hey, well, fuck it. Why don't you come and help us out and pour? And this was the one, and I hate doing this. And I told him, like, you know why I don't do that, dude? Is because I pay for people to do that for me. And it felt so shitty that I had to say that, dude. But it's times like that where you have to say stupid shit like that. And I say it like that because I shouldn't have to have said that. I shouldn't have. But sometimes you need to say stuff like that. And he looked at me. And he's like, oh, you think just because you signed my check? Like, no, I don't sign your check directly. I sign the check to your boss and he pays you. He's like, but look, if you don't want to do it, then get the fuck off my property. Oh, this isn't yours. Like, no, you're right. This is the lot is mine and you're working on my lot. She's like, so get the fuck off. And then everyone, you know, just kind of looked at me like, oh shit, like he's serious. And that he took off. And then I guess the main guy came up to me like, hey man, like what's up? And I'm like, no dude, like nothing's up. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, let's just finish pouring. And then, yeah, we finished pouring and everything. And then, we were done and I was taking off and I got in my truck. And then the main guy comes up. He's like, hey man, you all right? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm fine. Like, I'm not 10 years old. It was an argument at work.
What's done is done.
Yeah. And I told him, like, look, dude, like, if he shows up for another pour, like, I'm going to be on his ass. I'm telling you right now, like, you can bring him. Like, he reports to you, but, like, don't even fucking let him near the trucks with water and anything like that. All right. No. Like, don't worry about him. All right, cool. So that was the one time I ran someone off my site. But other than that, you know, thankfully, I haven't had to do too much of that, thankfully. So, I mean, it helps. And we got a good team. We got a good set of trades, and they're all responsive, and they respond for us, and they'll go the extra mile for us. For sure.
No, that's good, bro. Especially you being at such a young age, you're becoming a young leader, man.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy, man. Like when I meet new people,
you came a long way, bro. Straight up, cheers. Hey, cheers, bro, to that, cheers, man. Dude, straight up.
Cheers for that.
But no, dude, that's awesome hearing that straight up.
And like when I meet new people, you know, they'll ask me like, hey man, how old are you? And like, I'll just smile and I'll look down. And then this one person kept looking at me. He's like, how old are you, dude? And I'm like, I'm 24. He's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm 24. He's like, dude, and you're already thinking like this? Like 24? Well, this was before I turned 25 on October 5th.
Happy belated birthday.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Appreciate it. So like, everyone's like, what the fuck? You're already thinking like this, dude? Like, dude, that's crazy. And I'm like, yeah, dude, like, to get to where I'm at, you know, it's my life took a complete 180 a couple of years ago. You know, I was supposed to be in the medical field. I went to a high school known for medical. And in that, you know, I applied to community. I did community and I was going to get into the nursing program at community. But in that, my grandmother passed away. And when she was on her final days, when I saw, you know, the hell that a poor nurse goes through. So shout out to the nurses. Shout out to any nurse and every nurse that listens to this podcast, LVN, you know, RN, CRNA, anything. Like, kudos to you guys. The hell they go through just to keep the patient and family members happy. Fuck, es una chinga. Like, goddamn, like, my respects to them. And so you got to keep in mind, you know, when you're at a hospital, you're already in a bad mood. You don't go to the hospital when you're good, when you're okay. So any little thing that is out of the nurse's control, you explode on the nurses. So they get first hit on everything. So like, and I saw that one time, I mean, not directly with us, but I saw, you know, someone explode on a nurse and the poor nurse like started crying, dude, like because she was just so overwhelmed, so stressed, so everything.
It gets so emotional.
Yeah. And you look at them like, dude, do I really want to do this? Like, can I handle this? Because you're going to come at me. And the way I've been taught, like, look, if it was your mess up, accept it. Accept the shitting. But if it's not your mess up, fight it. Fight it. Like, hey, dude, this wasn't my fault. Like, there's nothing I could have done. But you can't tell that to a patient's family member. It's like, oh, you know what? Like, sorry, I forgot to do that shot of, you know, adrenaline that could have saved your family member. Like, no, like, you know, I was too late. It was just delivered to me wrong. Like, and you know, all those complications at the end of the day, it takes a toll on you emotionally. You know, even something as simple as a wrong medication, you know, or a dosage or whatever, you know.
The little mistakes happen.
Yeah, little mistakes are going to happen. You know, we're all human. And unfortunately, you know, the big risk that you do that, it's someone's life. It's someone's life. And you really think about it like, hey, like, can you be trusted with someone's life? And you know, you think about it, you're like, I wait, like, fuck that. Like, no, I'm good. You know what I mean? So, and to a certain point, this change in career, it makes you realize a lot that, you know, a lot of people think that you have to have a suit and tie to make, you know, a good living. It's like, no, like one of my other Rockwall guy, may he rest in peace, Lorenzo. He's like, dude, like, I remember, like, I would beg him to charge me because he didn't need to charge me. He's like, at one time I owed my Rockwall guy about $27,000 because he just never charged me. And my dad at that time, he told him, he's like, hey, you know what, Don Lorenzo, like, my heart's hurting. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it tomorrow. He's like, no, I'll bring you the bill tomorrow. So he gave him the bill. So, I mean, it's just little things like that, you know, that we're taught that, hey, you know, go be a doctor, go be a lawyer, go be all that. But it's like we were talking about yesterday. What about the trades? What about, you know, a plumber, an HVAC, an electrician? Like, they make pretty good money. Like, don't get me wrong. And I guess the most dangerous, I mean, they all have their dangers, but me personally, the one that I think is the most dangerous is the electrician. Because, I mean, hey, one wrong touch and you're screwed.
You're dead.
Yeah, you're dead. You're dead. But, I mean, everything's a risk. Life in itself is a risk. So
every day when we wake up.
Yeah, every day when you wake up, you know, you wake up and you're purposely going and taking a risk. So I mean, it's crazy, dude. And the other day, you know, I couldn't sleep. I was stayed up until about 5:12 is when I started knocking out, but my alarm's at 6. And I just sat back, dude, and it's crazy how much my life has changed about these 3-4 years. And I met some great people. I met some amazing people in these past couple months that have helped me so much. So much. And they know who they are. They know who they are. Just professionally, personally, it's just...
They've molded, they've sharpened you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, they've helped build who I am.
For people to say, like, they've done it on themselves, I think that's bullshit.
Correct.
You know, we could be like, you know, self-made for sure. But at the end of the day, there's people that have helped us, whether like it's been something small or something big.
Correct.
Even like with the last 2-3 years that I've been in San Antonio, the people that I've met, I'm like truly blessed. And like there's stuff that I've accomplished. Mm-hmm. And you could say it was like me by myself. But when I look at it myself, like no way, because if it wasn't for this person or this person, these people, right, I wouldn't have done what I've been able to do with the help of people.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, I agree with that 100%. It's, you know, everyone just looks at the surface of things. Oh, you know, you did this or you did that. Like, but no one sees under what happened, what you had to do to get to that level. You know, no one sees the sleepless nights or, you know, the nights
behind the lines.
Yeah, behind the lines. Exactly. And that's what I tell everyone. It's like, because I get so much shit from everyone. Oh, you don't even do anything. Like, you're right, dude. Physically, I don't. He's like, but if I don't do things that I do, you know, administratively, like, I can't run a house. And let alone that, you know, what am I going to tell the clients? Hey, I couldn't build your house because of I didn't know how to plan it. No, like, that's just irresponsible of me. Like, that's no way to run a business, you know. So, and you know, when I do costs, when I do, you know, trade shortages, lumber shortages, all that, you know, that's where I stress out.
Mentally.
Yeah, exactly.
Not physically, mentally.
No, physically, no. Like, mentally, you know, you always got to think ahead, if you will. And right now is a perfect time where you can't. You need to, but you can't. You absolutely need to know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you can't as much as you want. Even more, you know, it's just hard. It's hard, man.
Yeah, you can't plan for tomorrow.
Right.
Because tomorrow it could rain and pour.
Exactly.
And you won't even expect it.
Yeah, man. So I mean, that's basically us. So once again, just a little update. You know, my dad started the business in 2008 when everything crashed. When everything crashed, you know, that's when he started it. And everyone looked at him like, dude, what are you thinking? Like, the real estate market just crashed. He's like, you know what, dude? Like, I need to do something. I need to do something. Like, I can't live free. And it's crazy because my dad was a maquilero before. Like,
a maquilero.
Maquilas and Juarez. He's like, dude, I got to do something. All right. So he did that. And, you know, he did his first house. And I remember we were in Denver when we sold that house. When he sold that house. Everything, I give credit to him. And I remember we were at a Burger King and the realtor called him and he's like, all right, cool. Like, I appreciate it. And then he got up to the bathroom and he puked because he was just so excited and so overwhelmed. I walked in and I looked at him and he's like, shut up. Like, this did not happen. I'm like, hey, Dad, it's all good, dude. Like, congrats, man. Congrats on yourself.
Fucking Burger King.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, dude, we're at a Burger King. So I'm like, hey, man, that's what's up. Like, congrats. He's like, no, yeah. Yeah, we're good. We're good. All right. And then, you know, little by little, he started just growing and growing and growing. And how you say, you know, I credit him, but, you know, his realtors at the time, because I would go from like on the weekends, just like make just the day. But, you know, his realtors, you know, really helped him grow a lot. And then Ruben got into it. Ruben's my brother. And, you know, he started doing things and, you know, he started helping him out and everything. And then that's when I was in Denver. And like I said, you know, I called him one day and it was just one of those days where I was just overwhelmed and I was having trouble over there at my other job. And he's like, dude, and I remember his words perfectly. He's like, dude, your truck always has reverse, dude. If you ever want to come back, the truck has reverse. And I'm like, all right, Dad, well, let me just finish up here and then I'll call you and then we'll talk about it. And you know, like I know, you know, my dad's one of those OG, no freaking heart, no emotions, no nothing. And when I came back, my mom told me, he's like, you know what it was? Like, even your dad said, he's like, que bueno que ya se regresó. I'm so happy my son's back.
Yeah.
And dude, when my mom said that, I'm like, damn,
it hits you
for sure. Like, you're like, damn, dude, like, you're not supposed to have emotions. Like, damn, you're supposed to be just a freaking rock.
Yeah.
So for him to say that, I'm like, damn, dude, like, that's what's up. And I remember when I first started, I remember it was just me and him. And I remember I hugged him. And you just kind of like, you know, like when you hug someone, like they kind of start like kind of crying a bit, like how they kind of like choke up. I remember I just hugged him and then he kind of choked up. And I remember just telling him like, gracias por regresarte. And I heard that and I remember I hugged him tighter. And then I also felt like tears coming down my cheeks. And I'm like, don't worry, dad, like I'll never leave you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And then he's like, fuck. And then so we just hugged it out and everything. And then we went from there.
Pisses me out, bro. It's always the dads, bro.
Yeah, bro. My dad, it's always the macho-ness, bro. The macho-ness.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, it's
like seeing your dad cry, bro. That's something different.
Yep. Seeing my dad cry. Oh my goodness, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It leaves you speechless. Leaves you speechless for sure.
And then knowing that in the future you gotta fill in those shoes. How do you fill in those shoes, bro?
My dad's
an OG. It's impossible.
I can't. I'll never be half the man my dad is.
Nah, but we always want to shoot to be better than them, you know?
For sure.
They want us to be better than them.
Oh, no, definitely. Know? No. I'm not denying that. But in my eyes.
Yeah. No, definitely.
It's going to be hard or almost near impossible to fill those shoes.
Because, yeah, I mean, your dad came from Mexico, right?
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, my dad came from Colombia, so.
Yeah, dude.
Those crazy men, dude.
They're crazy, bro.
So, as far as the business, do you ever see yourself going away from the business and starting something of your own? Or do you want to keep building it?
I would like to, you know, maybe do something on my own, but still related to what my dad started. You know what I mean? Like, for example, maybe more something in the customs, more custom builder. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I know some custom builders that goddamn, like, they build some beautiful homes.
In that way, if you ever do what you're doing, can you guys kind of like work with each other?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. So what changes? So it's like I tell everyone, it's like everyone thinks, you know, oh, this and that. Like, no, like, we always ask for a loan. So the only thing that changes, you know, what the customer wants. So if the customer wants this certain style, we build that certain style. If they want something more traditional or transitional, or, you know, we build according to what you want. That's us, you know, as a semi-custom home builder. Yeah.
You fulfill the person's needs.
Right. Now, there's some that are full custom, 100%, where they will sit down with you and they will literally tell you, you know, hey, what about this? What about that? You know, so I give you an idea of what I can do for you. And then I kind of take over, so to say. So you'll tell me, you know, hey, I want a big kitchen. Okay, I'll work with a plan with what I can and I'll present it to you. And that's it.
Yeah.
Is that good for you? Not. If it is, sign it. And now you hit the ground running. Custom guys, they will literally, you know, they'll show you their selection a lot. Well, first I'll ask you roughly how much square footage can you afford? And then depending on that, they'll show you the lots they have. And then from there, you know, they'll sit down with you and they'll go from step one. It's like, hey, what do you want? You know, I want a big kitchen. I want a big bedroom, a dining area, whatever. And then they'll ship it out to the architects. They'll do the preliminaries and then they'll sit down with you again. So custom takes a lot longer, but it's a lot more tailored to you, 100%. Whereas us, you know, we tailor to you, but we kind of, you know, give you some choices, but there's some things that we can't, you know what I mean? Because like the style of lots that we pick or anything like that, you know,
it's not because you guys are communists, right?
No, obviously, definitely not. We work with what we got.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and there's some builders that love those irregular lots. Like we always buy like rectangular lots. Yeah. There's some that they're like in a 45 degree angle, and there's some clients that love them.
What's the major difference between a 45 degree angle and a rectangle?
So, and not necessarily in the 45, but like it's kind of offset.
Yeah.
So like, for example, it'll be like narrow in the front and then wider in the back. So it opens up, so to say. So there you have to kind of work with your site plan and your foundation to be able to meet to the code that you need. So, I mean, that's where your architect needs to really step up and, hey, dude, like, they know the code, they know what they need to do, so they should be able to build to what you want. And there's some people that only buy regular lots. And, I mean, they have a lot more experience in it. So I mean, hey, if it works for them, knock it out.
Okay, so right now, is it better to buy a home or build a home?
So that's going to be a little unfair, my answer, because I live off building homes. So my first answer is going to be build. Now, if you can't afford it, don't go into debt just to say you built your home. You know, be responsible. And if you can't do that, rent. And if you can't do that, stay at your parents. If you can't do that, get some roommates. You know what I mean? Like I could be the first one to say, dude, yeah, no, build a home and this and that. But no, it's just shitty of me as a person. So, I mean, just do what you can and know your price point, know what you spend on, know what you have. That's what I tell a lot of people, you know, if I wanted to, fuck, we could go and build a $700,000 home, but the market in El Paso isn't that big for a $700,000 anywhere, really. I mean, unless you're like Cali or whatever, but that's just at the point. So understand what you have, and you as a person need to realize what you're doing and how you're doing it. And if you want a big house, can you afford it? Because that's what everyone thinks, like, oh, I want a big house. It's like, it's not just having the big house. You have to maintain, you have to cool it, you have to heat it, you have to clean it, you have to this, you have to that. And everyone thinks, dude, it's like $60 in water, $70 in water, $80 in water. No. Like,
I have to pay taxes.
You have to pay the taxes on that. HOA fees, you know, maintenance fees and all those, you know, it adds up.
Yeah.
It's not just your PMI. It's all that, you know, plus the maintenance, you know, and even just as simple as your Netflix or your phone or your HGTV or whatever.
Or just like getting an apartment. You think I'm getting an apartment, I have everything, but no.
No, fuck no.
Washer, dryer, trash can for the trash they never pick up, but exactly. They charge you.
Yep.
Bastards. Charge you $13.
They charge you 13 bucks
for trash, and they never get the trash, so you gotta do it yourself.
Exactly. So you gotta take it out yourself.
But it is what it is. But I'm glad that everything's going good with your business, and I like the future that you want to leave for yourself.
Definitely, man. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. You know, it seems like you're starting your legacy, your foundation for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, building that last name, and it's awesome, dude.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate that. Yeah, man. It's been fun, man. It's been fun. You know, I wouldn't change it, you know. And someone asked me that the other day, like, hey, dude, go back like 5-6 years, what would you do? I don't think I would change. You know, I've learned a lot. I've done a lot. So I don't think I would have changed what I've done.
I think our experiences are what makes us. Right. And if we're not happy with ourselves right now, then what are we doing?
Do something to change it.
Yeah, do something to change it. I'm doing myself. I've made a ton of mistakes. I've taken more L's in my life than I think anybody in their lives. But I mean, I'm happy who I am. Yeah, definitely. For sure. Facts. And I'm happy who I am right now. You know, I
wouldn't want to.
Hey, chill. No one knows until now. But yeah, I crashed into a home, whatever, 6 years. I don't know, like 8 years ago. Who knows?
But hey, man. We learn.
And I went through más huevos.
Oh my God, you're an idiot.
I appreciate you coming for the podcast. Is there any last things you would like to say for the people?
Nah, man. Just, you know, hey, stay safe out there, everyone. You know, it's crazy right now. Just to you, man. I'm proud of what you're doing, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. And I'm glad to be a part of this, you know, from your undergrad to your grad and your podcast and being out here and your tacos and chief, you know.
Chief.
You know, all that stuff, dude. I mean, it's you're doing something. You're trying. You're doing what you can, and you're making it work somehow.
I appreciate
you know,
it, man.
You got a new apartment, so you're making it work somehow, dude.
I'm trying, man, you know. But it goes back to, like, you know, you got to train smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
That and, you know, just living your life day by day.
Yep. Yeah, for sure, dude. It's what you got to do, because no one's going to do it for you, man.
At the end of the day, it's just we have to rely on ourselves.
Right. Yeah, you got to do it, and just know that you'll have a support system, but don't depend 100% on it.
Definitely. Yeah, well, that is it for this segment of the podcast. And we'll get ready for the After Hours podcast. But I want to thank you so much, Javier Sanchez, for representing El Paso to its finest stability and representing the Latinos, bro. I appreciate that.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Thank you. No, well, pues, gracias, Javier Sanchez. Thank you, Danger and Leyva, even though you didn't really say anything.
I know.
You were just checking.
I was listening. I love it.
We'll get ready for the After Hours. And all right, folks, well, that is it for another episode of Quintero O Dinero. I want to thank Francisco Javier Sanchez for coming onto the podcast all the way from El Paso. I want to give a huge shout out to the Sanchez family for always supporting, and the Syllabus, the MacArthur family. You guys know who you are. This podcast is for you guys, for El Paso. El Paso strong, 915. I love El Paso so much. And I want to give a huge shout out to JC3 Studios for making the awesome beats for my outro, and a huge shout out to NK Music for making the awesome beats for my introduction. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. I also want to give a shout out to Nakira for taking the best pictures. And that is it, folks. Que todo está calmado en el barrio y vive la raza.